Welcome to In the Middle With You, a podcast where we invite you into the day-to-day of our middle school community. My name is Gaia Altshuler, and I am the social-emotional counselor here, and I am here with Tammy Cuckoo, our vice principal. Miss Cuckoo, we had a very exciting Saturday morning at Thorson Field. What happened?
We had an exciting morning, and the only way I can sum it up is we are number one.
We are the Lions, two. A little bit louder, three. I still can't hear you. We are number one.
Yeah,
guys,
we are.
Our tackle football team is number one, undefeated. And we have a game coming up this week. I'm not sure of the time, and I'd love to share it with you. But most importantly, if we win, we will have a game under the lights on Thorson Field, and we want everyone to come out, and we will definitely let you know next week what time that game is and where you need to be and what color we're going to wear, because we got to support our middle school football team. It's been great. We also had homecoming on Friday. That was pretty spectacular.
Another win, a fireworks show.
Man, that fireworks show. Now, in my 43 years, I've seen a lot of fireworks shows, okay? At the Rose Bowl in Pasadena. I've seen some at the Coliseum. But let me tell you, no one does it like us at Oaks Christian. That thing just kept going. I thought, oh, we're going to have a couple fireworks, but it was just like boom, bang, pack, pow, woo.
Oh my gosh.
And the kids were locked in. It was awesome. And
I'm speechless. That really did sum up homecoming. It was a beautiful celebration.
Beautiful celebration.
Chapel. What's chapel about this week?
Chapel. We're going to be in John 5, 1 through 5. And Jesus heals a man in Jerusalem. Jesus, he heals people in John. This is like the second healing that we're going to talk about. And we want to encourage you to come out to chapel. It's going to be on Thursday this week. And talk to your kids about Jesus the inviter, Jesus the healer, Jesus who does it all.
Jesus who does it all. All right. With that being said, we are going to jump into our topic of the week. This week, we are going to be talking about study habits and feeding the brain. The past few weeks, we have been exploring the meaning of grades, how to walk through perfectionism. And this week, we're really going to focus on how to best prepare the brain to succeed. So we have a few special guests joining us on our podcast today. So Tammy, why don't you introduce our first guest that's up?
Okay, guys, first up, we have Holly Exler, who actually works here in the middle school and with grades 4 to 5. She probably sends you email reminders. She probably also takes your calls when you forget something. She posts all of the reminders on Access,
including the podcast.
And the podcast. She posts this every week so you can listen in. But most importantly, she has a skill set that you guys know nothing about. And she has a background in nutrition. And I myself have consulted with Holly about certain supplements I should take and how I should eat certain foods. And she tells me, Tammy, you got to be eating differently. You're eating horribly. Clean it up. And
fair. Tough love.
When she does that, I try to tune in. So, Holly, we want to ask you, because we know that food and study habits and sleep all tie in. So number one question I think people have is, what are the top foods that boost brain function and help with focus that you would recommend to a middle school student, and why?
That's a great question. So especially for middle schoolers, since their brain is still developing and they need lots of fuel for learning and to focus and to get their memory going for whatever's going to come their way. So the top foods, just really quick, would be fatty fish like salmon, tuna, sardines, great for the brain, full of omega-3 fatty acids, which are for brain growth. Believe it or not, middle schoolers, their brain is not fully developed. So we got to keep that growth going with omega-3 fatty acids.
Very important
for us to remember that. So omega-3s, they help with memory, focus, and mood. Also, so a tip to get those in beyond a supplement would be like try a tuna fish sandwich or salmon tacos for lunch or anything in that way. Secondly, eggs. eggs are full of choline. Choline is what helps with our brain and the neurotransmitters, helps all the things fire right into your brain.
Okay.
It provides protein. Eggs are full of protein. So it, some tips, hard-boiled eggs, make it easy for breakfast, for a snack. Another third food for the brain would be berries, blueberries, strawberries.
I love a good berry.
Blackberries. We all love our berries for our antioxidants.
Yes.
But the antioxidants, they actually help protect the brain cells.
Ah.
So we know we not only have to grow our brain, but we need to protect what's already there. So how do we do that with blueberries and strawberries and blackberries? You can add it to yogurt in a parfait. Mm-hmm. You can add it to oatmeal, put it in smoothies, snack on it fresh anytime throughout the day. And another one that I love, super quick and easy, are nuts and seeds, full of healthy fats, especially like walnuts, almonds, pumpkin seeds, full of vitamin E, zinc, all of it is important. These types of fats help with our focus in the classroom and for stability to help stabilize your blood sugars. So a quick small handful of nuts is great for in between classes, before school or after school.
Awesome. So what you're saying is I need a blueberry salmon egg crusted with almonds on top.
You not, just made kidding. That sound
and
so
put it in a smoothie and
oh,
get
man.
It down.
No, Holly, I really appreciate all of that good insight. Those are foods that you really should try to get into your students' diet. Mm-hmm. I love that you suggested, because let's be honest, most middle school's palates are not that diverse. Mm-hmm. So fish sometimes can be tough, but there are supplements that you can take to add to that. And so it was omega-3s, mm-hmm. it was berries, it was eggs, and it were
nuts and seeds.
Nuts and seeds. So those are top five things we want to try to get inside. Now, for the negative part.
Yep.
What are foods and ingredients parents should look out for and that may harm cognitive function?
Absolutely. So just as certain foods can help boost our brain, especially during adolescence, there's a lot of foods that can be do the opposite.
Detrimental.
Detrimental is the right word. So first off, I always talk about it. High sugar foods or drinks, right then and there. What goes up must come down. And when it goes down, it does not sit well. Mm-hmm. So for examples like soda, energy drinks, sweetened cereals, pastries, candy, flavored yogurts, all of those things don't work well academically to get kids throughout the school. So it spikes their blood sugar and then makes a dip. It can lose their focus in the classroom, cause irritability, fatigue. So over time, all of that can impair the memory and make learning more difficult. So better choices would be to look for natural sugars that are already occurring in food.
Like How's honey?
Honey is a natural sugar.
I love honey.
So it's naturally occurring. Okay. So that's a good choice.
Good.
So fruits, and then always pair it with a protein or fiber just to help slow the digestion and keep the energy steady. Okay. The second one to always look out for are highly processed foods. Mm. So we're thinking chips, instant noodles, frozen snacks, fast food. These are all full of a lot of additives, a lot of chemicals, preservatives that don't sit well with our minds and bodies,
right.
and that they can make the memory worse. So some better choices instead of highly processed foods would be anything real. So all the whole foods that we just talked about.
I love that.
Homemade sandwiches, nuts, yogurt, fruit, anything that's God made.
I love that. Thank you, Holly. Like,
sure.
Parents, I would encourage you to really think about, just start thinking about what are the things that your kids naturally crave.
Yeah.
And we're still at a stage of life where we can curb those things. And like Holly said, eating things that actually come from the earth that are God provided are probably best. And things that are packaged are probably not. Like if you're having a hard time remembering, I'm glad we gave like five things here. And then we took five things that you should take out. And you've got one more thing.
I got one more thing that I can't get off this podcast without talking about is artificial colors.
Oh,
and
my goodness.
Additives.
Artificial colors and additives.
Did I say that? I did.
Preach.
So anything with brightly colored candy, sports drinks, processed snacks. So all of these artificial colors like red 40, Yellow 5, they've been linked to attention issues and hyperactivity in sensitive kids. So if we're asking our kids to go to school, sit, learn, memorize, feeding them artificial colors is not helpful. So how do we get around that? Better choices to look for snacks with natural coloring from beet juice, turmeric, or fruit extracts, or just eat anything straight from God in our land.
I love that. You know, so Holly just laid the foundation for setting your student up to come into the classroom the best way. So we know that if we're preparing our mind by feeding our body well, then we have a fighting chance to absorb some of the other things. So we have another guest today, and Gaia is going to interview her.
Yeah, I would love to introduce Jen Voss, part of our academic seminar team, crucial to the success of so many of our students. So Jen, could you share a little bit about what your role is and what you do within the academic seminar space?
Yes, thank you so much for having me on to talk about that. What we do in academic seminars, we work with students on study skills and executive function skills, and also just academic support, just kind of working with them on life skills.
Amazing. We, I feel like, echo the Learning Center and academic seminar in almost every podcast.
Always. It's a good opportunity to get extra help.
It's such an incredible opportunity for our students. And I think it can be really helpful for parents to hear in a different setting about what you provide students here at school, because they're not always in the classroom hearing about the study tips you're sharing. So could you share with us, if you could recommend one tried and true study tip during this middle school adolescence phase of learning, what would that tip be and why?
There are so many. My favorite one in that we always practice and we always tell the students is to practice a dispersed study method with active forms of studying. So it's complex in the sense that it's a two-parter, but they go together.
Yeah. Break that down for me. What does that mean? What does that look like?
So the dispersed method is that they're taking the amount of time that they would typically study for a test or work on a project and breaking it up into chunks, smaller pieces over a longer period of time. So if they have a grammar LP that is 2 weeks out, start studying vocabulary now and study it a little bit at a time. Practice the spelling, practice memorizing the definitions, using them in a sentence, and really understanding the definitions. And if they do that for a little bit at a time, it'll help with the long-term memory and help them with recall on the test because they're more familiar with the language and what they've been studying.
Absolutely. I love that because when they learn these principles now, it's going to change the way they study in high school, beyond, in college, and that it's time management, right? Like you're speaking towards time management too. What about,
I was just going to say the other part of it is the active part. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes we find that students just want to read through their notes and they're like, I'm good. I got it. I read my notes.
Yes.
Everything's great. And so we really want to emphasize the active form of studying, which is where they're actually doing something with their study materials, whether that's creating their own test from the handouts that the teachers give, quizzing their friends on it, making flashcards and practicing with that. Anything where they're doing something with the material and they're actively engaged with it as opposed to passively letting the material come to them.
That's so helpful. And I love that they get to do it with you first and then they can take it home and do it with mom and dad and eventually have that skill in their back pocket in high school. We all know motivation at this age can be tricky, right? Getting a child to follow through and commit to studying and their academics. Do you have any tips or secrets that you could share with parents for building that intrinsic motivation in a child to desire to do their absolute best academically, not just because they have to do it?
Absolutely. I agree. Motivation is tricky and we don't always have it. One of the most important things I've found in over 20 years of education and with working with middle schools more intensely is using the idea that we are going to praise the process over the outcome. So the process is what were the steps they used to get that A? And we don't talk about an A. So if a student comes in and says, I got an A on my test, I'm going to say, wow, that's amazing. What do you think you did that helped you be successful on this test? What were the steps that you went through? That also helps with the metacognition. And so they're reflective and they take ownership of their they're learning.
Yeah.
I have a son, so I practice this as well too. Yeah. And I think I've noticed that when we stopped looking at his grades and instead of that focused on the skills that got him there, he's now taken ownership of his learning, and I don't check his report card anymore. I don't look at what is coming up, because I know that it's important to him because he's developed those skills. On the other side of it, if a student doesn't do well, maybe they earn a C and they thought that they studied and put the time in, that's a time to self-reflect. And instead of focusing on why did you get that grade or what is going on with you, or I'm gonna take something away until you do better, I say let's kind of focus in on the specific strategies that didn't work for them and what they could do differently, without a hyper-focus on the grade, but rather look at how they got to that place.
That's amazing. I love that the academic seminar space is a place where they get praise and encouragement, and also a space to reflect and pivot and make changes, and something that parents can practice, but also know they're receiving here at school as well. So thank you for sharing that. I love that these study tips go well with snack preferences as well, and put those two things together to give the child a head start to accomplish everything.
Parents, we hope that this starts a larger conversation and just a more reflective mindset when talking with your students, reflecting on process and not grades, thinking about what we put in our mouths and how that sets us up for success in the classroom. Those things are really important in this stage of life, and hopefully those things carry them throughout their life past middle school. The verse of the week this week is 3 John. Is that 3 John? 3 John? You know, 3 John. There's so many Johns. There's the Gospel of John. There's 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. But we're talking about 3 John today. Chapter 1, verse 2. Oh, dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well.
All right. And our call to action this week, I think there were many calls to action this week, whether it's being mindful about the food that your child is eating or coming alongside them in helping them build some study tools for the future. We hope there was a lot that you were able to glean from this episode today. And until next time,
we are in the middle with you.